So hello and good morning. Welcome to Padmasambhava Day, our celebration of Padmasambhava, Master of Transformation. So my name is Prakasha and I'll be leaving? I'll be leading the morning and afternoon sessions, and Sri Sambhava will be leading the puja later on. And the format of the day, I'm going to give some short talks, three very short introductory talks, explaining who and what Padmasambhava is. Then we'll chant the Padmasambhava Vajraguru mantra, and then we'll have a meditation. So we'll do all that three times during the morning and afternoon. So that's the basic format of the day. I've put the program with the times up there on the board in two different places, so you should be able to find it. So just, yeah, relax, settle into the day, and come and enjoy it, really. That's the invitation. Come and meet Padmasambhava. So I'll be doing my best to explain who is Padmasambhava. So yeah, let me say a bit about that. Who is Padmasambhava? So his name means the lotus born, Padmasambhava, and he is both historical and a legendary character. And the legend is that he was born on a lotus in a lake in a very magical land called Udayana. The historical facts of the situation are that he lived in India in the 8th century. So he's both historical and a legendary character who lived in the 8th century in northern India. And in India at that time, there were three quite different types of Buddhism. So there was the original type of Buddhism of yellow-robed monks who followed the suttas and the Abhidharma and the Pali Canon. And then there were the red-robed monks, the Mahayana monks, who followed the Mahayana sutras, such as the Perfection of Wisdom and the Vimalakirti Nidesha and the Sutra of Golden Light. And they emphasised the Bodhisattva ideal, compassion and altruism. So they had quite a different orientation in a way. The original monks were much more ascetic, and the Mahayana monks were much more compassionate and relational and altruistic and had a completely different set of texts. But there was also this third group of people. So these were the tantric practitioners of Vajrayana. So they were pretty crazy, really, and got up to all sorts of naughty things. So they practiced sadhana, esoteric meditation. They chanted mantras. They engaged with mandalas. And they had yogic practices of all kinds. So they were involved in transformation of chakras and yogic energies. They practiced consort meditation. So there were three different types of Buddhist practitioner in this time in India. And of course, well, Buddhism had been there in India for about 1500 years by this time, 1200 years. So Padmasambhava is distinctive in being a master of all of these three different types of Buddhism. So he'd mastered the Pali Suttas, Mahayana Sutras, and also the Tantras as well. So that's what makes him quite distinctive. So he was a monk. He had the formal robes of an ordained monk, but he was also a yogin, a meditator, a scholar, and pretty crazy, really. Got up to some crazy things. That's what they liked doing in those days. Some people find that quite appealing. Anyway, I'll say more about that, but let me tell you about the historical side of things. So, back in the 8th century, there was this area that we call Tibet, which is now China, of course, but in those days it was an autonomous area, deep in the mountains, very high. I mean, it's a plateau area of 20,000 feet, so it's a very high, very mountainous. And in this land, there was a king called Trisen Detson. And up until that time, in this very mountainous area, there was this religion called the Bun tradition, or the Bun religion. But Padmasambhava wanted to introduce Buddhism from India into Tibet, into this really kind of quite wild and rugged terrain, and quite wild and rugged people.
Trisen Detson wanted to, rather than Padmasambhava.
Yes, right, great. So it's very good to have Vajrapriya to clarify any mistake I might be making, because I can get carried away talking about these things and that sort of lapse into obscurity.
What was the clarification?
I was just saying it was King Trisen Detson who wanted to introduce Buddhism.
Yes, that's right, yes. So King Trisen Detson invited this scholar called Shantarakshita. So Shantarakshita was very learned, he was a monk, he was a scholar, and together they wanted to establish a monastery, they wanted to translate the Sanskrit text into Tibetan, and they wanted to establish a monastic tradition. But what happened when they tried to do that? Well, there was opposition. So there was opposition from the indigenous Bun tradition, the indigenous religious tradition. But in a way, it's a very mythic, it's a very animistic kind of land. So how they talked about it was that the gods and the spirits and the demons of the country were upset and they resisted this attempt at establishing the Buddhist tradition. So they attempted to build a monastery, but the walls started falling down. During the night, spirits would come and they'd pull down the walls, and then they'd have to start all over again. So that was the situation. So King Trisen Detson called in Padmasambhava. So they knew that somebody from a tantric tradition was needed. So they called in Padmasambhava from India. So Padmasambhava was in northern India. He travelled to Nepal, and then he walked the whole way from Kathmandu across the mountains, across the valleys, across the ridges, and eventually he arrived in Lhasa in Tibet, so that's the capital of Tibet. But on the way there, as he travelled from Kathmandu, he met and he converted and he taught the local people that he met the Dharma. But also as he walked, he visited the wayside shrines, and he'd also meet the local spirits and work with them to help convert them and to transform them into the Dharma. So his teaching was on many levels. And when he arrived in Lhasa, he collaborated with Shantarakshita and with King Trisen Detson, and eventually they were able to establish this monastery at Same. So Same Monastery still stands there. It's still a very important monastery. So it wasn't destroyed by the Chinese in the 1950s and 60s. It did need quite a bit of repair, so it's recently been restored. So the whole tradition of Padmasambhava that was inaugurated at that time continues. So Padmasambhava and the king, Shantarakshita, started this tradition of Buddhism. And that tradition still continues. And it's just as well in a way, really, because Buddhism went to Tibet in the 8th century, and by the 11th century, it took several hundred years to really establish itself. So it wasn't really established until the 11th century. So we can understand why trying to establish Western Buddhism takes a while. It took them a few hundred years to really get going. But by the 11th century, Buddhism had been completely wiped out of India, really. So it was good, but it had taken root in this wild country called Tibet. So we don't really know how long Padmasambhava stayed in Tibet. So some people say it was just a few months. He just went there and helped build Same Monastery, got it going. Other people say, no, he spent years there. He spent decades there. In fact, he never left, in a very magical kind of way. So there's all sorts of traditions, really. In a way, we can't really distinguish the historical Padmasambhava from the legendary Padmasambhava. But there's still this school that he started called the Nyingma School of Tibetan Buddhism. So they're called the ancient school, so they distinguish themselves from the later traditions which grew up in the 11th century. So that's our context of Padmasambhava. But then I also want to talk about Sangharakshita. So we've got these two rather similar people. So we've got Shantarakshita, who was the abbot who helped start the monastery. So he was in the 8th century. So his name means guardian of peace. But then we've got Sangharakshita, who founded the... what's it called? Triran, that's funny, yeah. Who founded the... you know what I mean, yeah. Founded the Triran Order and the movement. So he spent 20 years out in India, in this area around Kalimpong and Darjeeling on the Himalayan border. And he lived there during that time. And one day he went to Darjeeling, to one of the monasteries, and he came across this figure of Padmasambhava, this large statue. And he was immediately arrested in his tracks. Wow, this is really awesome. Padmasambhava's got these big staring eyes, and Sangharakshita was just gripped by these eyes, and he's got this trident and he's got this hat with his feather. Well, there he is, you can see him. So Sangharakshita met Padmasambhava and he thought, wow, there was something about him which really caught his imagination. So Sangharakshita was introduced to various teachings about Padmasambhava, and he was introduced into the Padmasambhava sadhana, the Padmasambhava meditation practice, and he engaged with that whilst he was living in Kalimpong in the 50s and 60s. And then he brought these teachings back to us in the West. So he came back to the West, when was it, 1964 or something like that, and established the, what's it called, the Triratna. And yes, that's it, yes. It used to be called that, didn't it? Yeah, it rings a bell, doesn't it? And we celebrate various festival days with the Buddha, but also in the Triratna, we celebrate this Padmasambhava Day. So we have these two celebrations. So it's good that we have on the shrine, we have the Buddha, we have this extraordinary new rupa of the Buddha, but also we have the Padmasambhava rupa. So we have these two. And how we understand this is that it's important that we have the Buddha, because the Buddha started the whole Buddhist tradition. So the Buddha is very important. He started the whole Buddhist tradition. And from the Buddha's teaching, Buddhism spread all across the East, and of course it spread to the West. So the Buddha is very, very important. But we also have this emphasis on Padmasambhava, because he is this Triyana teacher, because he teaches, not only basic Buddhism, Mahayana Buddhism, Vajrayana Buddhism, the Tantra. And Padmasambhava is a very, very composite figure. He's both a scholar, but he's a meditation master. He's both historical, but he's also very mythic and legendary. So he's often called a teacher, guru, the archetypal guru. So he holds that kind of archetype of the teacher, the archetypal teacher, who embodies a whole range of teachings, but embodies a whole range of qualities as well. So he's both meditator and scholar. So you can't easily pin him down into being any just one thing, really. He's very composite and complex, and embodies a whole range of things, heights and depths and breadth. So I think that's why Sagarachita wanted us to celebrate him. And during the day, I'll be explaining more about who Padmasambhava is. But perhaps that's enough to start off with. Anything to say about that? That's a start, isn't it? So what we'll do, we'll have the Padmasambhava mantra. And you're welcome, we're going to have a Padmasambhava mantra a number of times, and you're welcome to make offerings of lights or candles or any other kind of offering. Do anything you like during these mantras. So we'll chant my mantra, and then we'll just have a meditation. And I'm not going to give you any instructions in that meditation. Just do what you feel you want to do during the meditation. Just do whatever is right for you. So we'll have a period of time. I don't even know how long we're going to sit. I'll just ring a bell at the end, and we can just settle in and just absorb this idea of Padmasambhava. What does he mean for you? What do you make of him? So you might begin to ask yourself that question. What's your response, if anything at all? What does he mean for you? And of course, we can hold that question during the day, and of course, different things might emerge. So I'd like to invite you to begin to reflect on Padmasambhava. Who is he? What is he? What might he mean to me, if anything? All right, I've said enough. So we'll have the mantra, and then we'll just go into period of meditation. And then after that, in classic Sri Ratna style, we'll have a tea break. Okay, so the day is interspersed with various breaks. Yeah.
Bye. Shagari Padma Siddhi Ambam. That Shagari Padma Siddhi Ambam. That Shagari Padma Siddhi Ambam. That Shagari Padma Siddhi. Vajragari Padma Siddhi. Om.